Dear congregation, boys and girls, the first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer all are directed to God Himself, to the Lord God as our Heavenly Father, our Father which art in heaven. And we read three times, Thy, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, and Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And then it's followed by three times, us. Give us, we just read it together again, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation. Now the first one of these three is the focus of our attention this morning, with God's help. Matthew 6 verse 11, the fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread. And we wish to do that from the perspective of verse 25 of the same chapter, and also from the Lord's Day, Lord's Day 50, which you can find in back of your Psalter, page 86. So we'll read Matthew 6, verse 25, God's word to us this morning, this day. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? And then Lord's Day 50, question 125, which is the fourth petition? And the answer, give us this day our daily bread, that is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care, nor industry, nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. Our theme, with the help of the Lord, is praying for our daily bread. In the first place, for all our daily physical needs. In the second place, to the glory of our Heavenly Father. And in the third place, in absolute spiritual submission. So praying for our daily bread. First, for all our daily physical needs. Second, to the glory of our Heavenly Father. And thirdly, in absolute spiritual submission. So in the first place then, when we pray for our daily bread, we pray for all our daily physical needs. For all our physical needs, dear congregation. Even though this petition only asks for bread, it's very clear that in that bread, it is asking there to ask for everything that we need. It is our most basic need that we would eat bread. Bread is worldwide known as a basic food staple. It's the only petition also in the Lord's Prayer that deals with our physical needs. So it's obvious that in that bread we express, when we pray for it, that we need, that we pray that we may receive everything that we need for our body. So the instructor in Lord's Day 50 makes it very plain, does he not? When he says, which is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. It's also clear from our text. Verse 25 of Matthew 6. Therefore I say unto you, Jesus is speaking. It's the same Jesus who taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Here you see the bread need enlarged already. And the words take no thought, boys and girls, doesn't mean that we shouldn't think about it. It doesn't mean that the Lord says there, do not think about it at all. That's impossible. We must think about what we shall eat and what we shall drink. And boys and girls, your mom and your dad must think about it, what they shall eat. Meals must be planned. She must know what she has to go to the store to buy. So she must give it some thought. It must be cooked. Ingredients must be determined. What goes into the food. Clothes must be bought. They must be washed. They must be mended. We think about it all the time. So, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't think about it. But it does mean that we shouldn't think about it too much. Take no thought means don't think about it all the time. Or don't think only about that. Do not be overly concerned about it. Do not be anxious about it. Don't worry about it. That's really what it means. Really, it's about not worrying about tomorrow. Because usually, when we take too many thoughts of things, we go into the day of tomorrow, or next week, or next month. But we must consider ourselves with this day. Give us this day our daily bread. It's commanded in our text, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or what you shall put on. It's commanded. Therefore we pray for it. Because we know that that which is commanded by God, we cannot do by ourselves, and therefore we say, and we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Something the Israelites had to learn too, to live by the bread of every day. Boys and girls, you remember, they received manna enough for the day. They were not allowed to keep it any longer. You know what happened? Then the worms were in it. So they had to learn to depend on the Lord for daily bread, daily manna. And so we too must learn by His grace and by His word and by His spirit to depend on Him for our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Literally it says, our bread sufficient for the day, give us this day. Sufficient for the day. Our daily portion. Live by the day. In the right way, living by the day. In dependence upon the Lord. So as we then pray, give us this day our daily bread, we not only ask for food and for drink and for clothing, but for all the other things. We ask the Lord to keep our home safe. So that we may have shelter against the cold in the winter, against the heat in the summer, against the rain, against the weather. That's part of give us this day our daily bread. It's taking care of our body. It's also praying for health, for strength, for a blessing upon the medication that we also take by our mouth. That's part of bread. Give us this day our daily bread. That God's been gracious to give us medication for so many diseases that people in the past would die from. So we pray for health, to do our work, for our ability to learn, boys and girls, at school, or at home, or in church, wherever we learn, so that we eat, so that our minds may function, so we can understand and do the things we are called to do. In short, for all things, as the instructor says, necessary for the body. So that we can live and move and have our being in the Lord who gives us all these things. We must not forget also that we are in the third part of the Heidelberg Catechism, dealing with the thankfulness in the life of the believer, in the life of the child of God. It is the prayer of a child of God, praying to his heavenly Father for his daily bread, our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. There's a childlike dependence not only, but also a childlike right to it. You see, when a sinner is born again, washed and cleansed, his sins are forgiven. Not only that, but he also has a right to eternal life. And that right to eternal life is expressed in "Give us this day our daily bread." For God will sustain his children into all eternity. They will lack nothing. It's remarkable, isn't it, that the Lord Jesus directs us, dear believers, to pray first, not for our spiritual needs, but for our physical needs. Not for our soul first here, but for our body. That's striking. It's striking that the fourth petition, "Give us this day our daily bread," comes before the fifth petition, "Forgive us our debts." Of course, we cannot presume we know all the reasons, but certainly one of the reasons is that our body is important, not only to God, but also to us. Our physical needs are very important, and we must nourish our body, and we must care for our body and pray for it, that we may have the means to do it. But also, secondly, that we mustn't think of our body as being something evil in and of itself. Dear believers, because when Paul says, Romans 7:18, he says, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing," he doesn't mean just my body, but in me as a person, my soul and body together dwells no good thing. All I have is that is good is but by the grace of God. You see, for many, many years, as Christians, we have been influenced in a wrong way by Greek philosophy, which has penetrated in our society, in our way of thinking, which may almost to be like as when Christians then look at what we are as if it's a good soul imprisoned in an evil body. But that's not the way it is. It is not that we have our soul redeemed only, but we are redeemed soul and body. God created Adam soul and body, and it was very good, and it included his body. So all our senses, all our affections, in and of themselves are not sinful. They're sinful because we have become sinners. So it's the whole person that is being redeemed. So our body is not evil in and of itself. And when the Lord then redeems a sinner, he redeems a sinner soul and body. It's God's delight to feed us and to provide us with all things necessary. And it's also his delight that we should delight in it, so that we do not need to feel guilty if we enjoy a good meal or a beautiful scenery. When it's sanctified, then all our senses may enjoy in all the things that God has given us, as long as we use it for a good end, a good goal, a good purpose. The Lord didn't give us our taste buds and our other senses to tempt us to sin. He gave them to us to enjoy him and all that he gives, to use them in his joyful service. And that's perhaps the third reason why the body, the physical needs, is placed first. You see, it's not only that our body is important to God, and it's also not evil in and of itself, but it's also necessary that our body must be fed in order to be of good use in His kingdom. When we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we need to be fed in order to be able to do that, to be able to function. Of course, there are exceptions. And boys and girls, you know, there are some exceptions, like there were some in Scripture that lived for 40 days without food. Maybe you remember who they were. Moses, Elijah, and even the Lord Jesus, when He was tempted in the wilderness, He was without food 40 days. But normally, that's not the way the Lord works things in this world. He provides us with food so that we would serve Him. If we don't eat, we can't work. And also the reverse is true. The other way around. We read in 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 10, "If any would not work, neither should he eat." If he doesn't work, he doesn't deserve to eat. But when he eats, he should work. So we get food from the Lord in order to eat. Verse 12 of 2 Thessalonians 3, we read, "We command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." Our bread. So that we may serve Him. So take no thought. It doesn't mean that we don't think. We do. It also doesn't mean we don't work. We do. We must. But we must do it for the glory of God. And that brings us to our second point. To the glory of our Heavenly Father. As the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, 31, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." So we see that we not only are commanded to do that, but that it's also possible. It is God's glory not only to create us, but also to feed us. It is God's glory to do that. We see this in our text, in the last phrase of our text. And we read, "Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" In other words, when God gives us life, which is the greater part, will He not also give us meat or food, which is the lesser part? Every time the greater is compared with the lesser. If He gives us the great thing, will He not also give us the small thing? If He creates life, He made us life, living beings, will He not sustain it? It's the inward focus. The inward sustenance to keep us alive. Nourishment. Food and drink. Health. Happiness. And the Lord Jesus illustrates that with a beautiful picture. Boys and girls, remember in verse 26 we read about the fowls or the birds of the air. They don't sow. They don't reap. They don't gather into barns like farmers do. And yet we read, "Your Heavenly Father feeds them." Are you not much better than they? The Lord says, "I feed these birds." Are you not much greater? Are you not much better? It is God's glory to feed them and us. But then the second part of that phrase says, "And the body than raiment." Isn't the body more than raiment? Isn't the body more than clothes? Isn't the body greater and more miraculous and majestic? And how God made it fearfully and wonderfully, already from the womb, that our heart keeps beating, that we keep breathing even at night when we don't think about it. Is the body more than clothes? And God, having made the body so wonderful, will He not take care that He will cover it and protect it? God has given us a body. Which is greater? He will give us clothes, shelter, protection for the physical, outward well-being. And that's illustrated with flowers, with the lilies. We read that in verse 28. They also don't work. They don't toil. Neither do they spin like we do. Boys and girls, when we make clothes, we spin wool or cotton into thread and we make clothes of it. Flowers don't need to do that. In verse 29 we read, and yet Jesus says, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. In other words, it is to God's glory to clothe the flowers in the field. How much more will he clothe us? If he clothed and dressed a lily so gloriously that even Solomon didn't have such beautiful garments. And he was a king. He wore, boys and girls, you can be sure, royal garments, which were splendid. But Jesus says, look at this flower. And you know what a flower really is? It is a blooming grass. It's an elevated form of grass. Some of these flowers, they bloom but a day. And they have no soul. And God dresses them. How much more? And that's why Jesus concludes in verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? But then you ask, how can that be? How can it be that the Lord would feed and clothe us, being sinners? We don't deserve it. And that's true, we don't. And yet we must pray for our daily bread, not because we deserve it, but because it's God's glory to give it, and to give it graciously. It is His good pleasure to do it. That's why our instructor says in his answer, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. We plead God's good pleasure. You see, we have no human right to it. But when we approach God through Christ, we have a divine right to it. Not because we think we need it, or we think we deserve it, but because God's word declares it to be as our bread. So pray, give us this day our daily bread. Pleading God's good pleasure, for He delights to do it. It's His delight to do it. He found a way to do it. And He proves it every day to us, for we have eaten to the full, even today. He feeds the birds. He dresses the flowers with beauty and glory, even though they don't have a soul. And don't deserve it either. And there is not that point in question at all. The very only reason that God glories in this world is only because He desires to do it. There's not a single creature in the world that deserves all that he or she gets. See, we come to the Lord God as our Heavenly Father, who is an overflowing fountain of all good. So the instructor continues, doesn't he? That we may thereby, by our pleading, give us this day our daily bread. Be pleased to give us this bread. That we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good. Thereby, acknowledge thee to be the fountain of all good. So it's not only an acknowledgement of our need, but it's an acknowledgement above all things of God's goodness. That He is who He is. And what is He? He is an overflowing fountain of all good and only good. Always good. You see then how we then glorify His great goodness? By asking? By praying this prayer? not only as He commanded, but also as He delights us to do it. So He is exalted truly as our giving Heavenly Father, who knows exactly what we truly need, who's willing, who's able to give us way above that we can even think of asking. As we saw also in the passage that we read together, before the Lord's Prayer and after the Lord's Prayer, in verse 8, "For your Father knoweth what things you have need of." And again in verse 32, that's repeated. "For your Father knows that you have need of all these things." So, as it is a shame for an earthly father to not take care of his children, so it would be if God, as our Heavenly Father, would not take care of His children upon this earth. You see, His own honor is bound up in the well-being of His people. For that very reason, He will continue to feed them. The congregation, is that your comfort in all your trying circumstances? Is that your encouragement that the Lord will do that for His own name's sake, regardless of our shortcomings in serving Him? All those that put their trust in Him, therefore, are secure and safe and will never lack anything. Is it not true that the Lord already abundantly has shown us, showering us with gifts already for so many days and years, fed us the food convenient for us, clothing and shelter? What do we lack, the congregation? Hasn't the Lord shown it that His character is indeed what He says He is? An overflowing fountain of all good, in spite of our sins. We have bread and to spare. Most of us are healthy, have good jobs, have good pensions, so that we may provide for ourselves and for each other, for those that do not have enough. But all these things miss their goal if you receive them without God's favor or blessing. And so our instructor goes on to say, "And that neither our care, nor industry, nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing." It doesn't say cannot profit us. Our care and our industry, that means our labor, cannot profit us, period. But it says without thy blessing. They are God's gift to us, that they're able to do our work. God indeed is an overflowing fountain of all good. Psalm 145 verse 9 says, "The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." Sunshine and rain come all alike upon the righteous and upon the wicked. God's abundant blessings are poured upon us. All things, Ecclesiastes 9:2, all things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked. And it will also end to His glory. The congregation, that's a solemn thought too. Even if we do not repent and believe, our condemnation then shall be for God's glory too. He shall be justified in everything that He does. But it's still His desire, still His gracious purpose, to call you to repentance, even now, that God's goodness would lead us to repentance for the first time or afresh. That we would turn to Him and serve Him. And so He comes with His word to us. And so His Spirit strives with your soul even now. And not only the sins would convict you, but that His goodness would overwhelm you and say, "Lord, how can it be that Thou art so good for such a persistent sinner as I am?" So it comes to us, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And we know that it's impossible. Our past life testifies that we don't glorify God in all that we do, and that we eat and that we drink whatsoever we do. Even eating a slice of bread, we must do it to the glory of God. Impossible with man, but possible with God. Impossible for man by nature, but possible by grace. God not only commands, but He also provides everything that we need in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can eat a slice of bread to the glory of God. If we eat from the bread of life, let a capital B, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this perfect obedience to be holy, to be perfect because God demands it, is only finding fulfillment in those that begin to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For guilty, polluted sinners. So we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And doing that, praying so to our Father which art in heaven, we may be assured that He will hear us, and also answer us. Jesus said in John 15:23, whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He will give it to you. And that brings us to our third point. In absolute spiritual submission, why should I, to fear, give way? Take no thought. Why should I give way to fear? And we know that we have a God in heaven who can and will supply our every need. The congregation, it has everything to do with our spiritual allegiance. Where is our trust focused? Colossians 3:17, we read, whatsoever you do in word or deed, whatever you say or do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. But through Paul he says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Even though the fourth petition focuses on our physical needs, it is evident that it doesn't end there. Not only because of the following petitions, but even in the very petition itself. To feed our body is very plainly not the goal, but a means to a greater goal. All the food, all the blessings that are in that bread that we looked at earlier have a purpose. God showers them upon us and protects us and keeps us so that we would serve Him. To serve God and Him alone. Undivided allegiance as our Heavenly Father. You see, we don't live to eat, but we eat to live. And that's not only a problem of the world, that's also our problem. When we indulge in things, whether it be food or whether it be something else, anything that God has given in the functioning of our body, all that must be done to the glory of God. Not to the glory and pleasing of self. It doesn't end in the body. But when we eat, so that we may be strengthened, so that we may be more zealous in His service. Notice in our text how it says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat and drink, and your body what you shall put on. It says, therefore. Do you see that first word that points back to what's before? The preceding verses. which speak about laying up treasures on earth or in heaven. What kind of storehouse do we depend on for future health and happiness and nourishment? Do we put our trust in our bank account? Or do we put our trust in the Lord? It speaks about laying up treasures on earth or in heaven, but also about trying to serve two masters, God or Mammon. You see, this is not the sin of the world, to serve God and Mammon. This is a sin of the church. It's a sin of God's people. The world doesn't serve God and the Mammon. The world serves Mammon. They make no secret of that, and it becomes more and more evident too. Mammon, the god or the idol of money and fame and wealth and possessions and things and indulging the lust of the flesh. Of course, the Mammon, even though it's all outward things, is really serving and living for self. Mammon is indeed outward things, it's an idol, but really it's living for your own pleasure, not for God. It's really serving God or self. It's the bottom line. The world doesn't know the God of the Scriptures, but we do. We have the Scriptures. This is the sin of God's people. Jeremiah complained about that already. God, through Jeremiah, I should say, for God says, they are my people. Jeremiah 2:13. My people have committed two evils, forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. The world commits one evil, but God's people commit two evils when they commit the very same sin. For they know better. We are God's people, separated in this world, set apart unto Him to be truly God's people, to live like God's people, to serve Him and Him alone, and have no other gods before Him. Not only openly, in a worldly way, dear congregation, but also secretly, in a hidden way. Perhaps outwardly crossing all T's and dotting all I's, never missing a church service, but living really the same way, for food, for drink, for entertainment, for having a good time upon this earth. It may look better on the outside, but God, dear congregation, looks in our hearts. He knows really where our allegiance lies. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And be assured, God knows, regardless of the appearance. So in order to really be blessed in the fulfillment of all our physical needs, we must serve God alone, exclusively, in spiritual submission. A slice of bread eaten with an eye to the goodness of God tastes far better than a slice eaten just to satisfy our own hunger. Dear congregation, do you know something of that? Spiritual submission. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and Mammon. So if you try to serve both, we serve one, and it's Mammon. How long shall ye hold between two opinions? There aren't two. There's always one. These people that were halting between two opinions on Mount Carmel actually were serving Baal and Baal alone. You see? But in an outward way, they were halting between the two. But in reality, they had only one goal. And anyone and everyone in our midst of the congregation who is not yet in Christ serves Mammon. In all that you do, Jesus says, you can't serve both. It's utterly impossible. They're not three kinds of people. The Mammon servers out there, and the people who serve God alone, and here, those people that serve both. Jesus says it cannot be done. You actually serve Mammon, and you will perish with Mammon. Unless you repent and believe the gospel. Let's come to a radical break with Mammon, not only in an outward way, but in an inward way. Conversion from world to the church is not enough. It must be converted to God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only in an outward way, but from the heart. It's a matter of allegiance and true spiritual submission to God as our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. That's why our instructor concludes, and therefore, he says, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures, that includes self, and place it alone in thee. You see how the instructor knows he needs to make his exclusive choice. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve, Joshua said. And so he prays, give us this day our daily bread. Do you so pray also, dear congregation? With emphasis on every word, give us this day our daily bread. It's his desire. It's his practice also. The instructor knows that he doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. And to live by God's word, dear congregation, is to live by faith in the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Give us this day our daily bread. Then it's not only to be prayed with an eye to the bread that we eat with our mouth, but also with a capital B. Give us this day our daily bread so that my soul may live too. For you need the bread to be sustained in the way in your battle against sin and evil within and without. To be fed from the word of God. Jesus says, John 6:48, I am the bread of life. That's really spiritual submission. Spiritual submission is to be submitted to the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit sent forth, proceeding both from the Father and from the Son. It's the Spirit of Christ. Both the Father and the Son delight to send him forth when the word is proclaimed. It's the Spirit's delight to show the things of Christ out of the word to sinners, so that they may be quickened, so that they may be revived and live unto God. It's an unconditional surrender of all my thoughts, all my sins, all my needs, all my concerns, all my worries to him who has all power in his hands, in heaven and upon earth. I rest then in his words, take no thought. Don't worry about it. Don't give way to fear and evil. Put your trust in me. Don't look only at the circumstances. Don't look at perhaps that you cannot feed your family a month from today, but today, that's still enough. Take no thought. Be not overly anxious. and worried. You know, these words, take no thought, in this passage are repeated five times. Five times. And read it over, you see it. 25, 27, 28, 31, and 34 again. Take no thought. Take therefore no thought, the last verse. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Sufficient indeed to flee to God, for sufficient to the day is also the good. Day by day. Give us this day our daily bread. It doesn't mean I will be careless and thoughtless. It doesn't mean that I won't work. Not at all. I will work hard in my job. And so, boys and girls, you work hard at school and in learning. And in the office, or wherever you're called to work. But I won't put my trust in it. I'll save and put money in the bank, but I won't put my trust in it. That's what the Gentiles do. It's very plain, isn't it? That's what the heathen do. The Gentiles do that. For your heavenly Father knows your need. So the world does. I pray for my daily bread, for my body, and for my soul. Trusting in Him. Knowing He will not put me to shame for doing that. Not because I do it, but by way of doing that. This is the way, this is the means God has given us. His means. And He says they are your means. Use them. And I will bless them. Not because of you, He says to us, but because of myself. I delight to do these things. I not only delight to give you the end, but also the means toward the end. Trust and obey. For there is no other way to be happy, to be blessed in Jesus. Do you really believe this, dear congregation? We know that God gives the growth. We cannot add anything to our length by worrying, nor by working, nor by saving money. And yet, we eat, we work, we save. We're called to do it. We're not saved because of that or by it, but by God's decree that this is the way He has us do these things. He moves us and makes us willing to do these things in the day of His power for our body as well as for our soul. This is how God decreed to work and to save us. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debt. That says we forgive our debtors. Both for our body and for our soul, God has commanded us to make use of the means. And if you do that prayerfully, trusting Him, and looking to Him as a Father, a Son, and a Holy Ghost, then He will provide us our every need. He will. It's His promise. It's not the promise of a man that he should lie, but the promise of God. Salvation, indeed, is of the Lord. But that includes the use of the means. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Amen.